You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, basketball Tigers suffer a loss on the road, baseball Tigers sweep at home, and a former Tiger on the move again. We'll get to all of it, and we're brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. Let's start with LSU basketball. They lose by 8 on the road at Arkansas. Here was Will Wade after the loss.
Tale of two halves, obviously. First half, we played pretty well. We should have been up 10 or 12 at half. We were up 5. Did a great job on the glass. We did a good job defending. Second half, we got off to a decent start, and then it got away from us. Our rebounding let us down. Our defense let us down. Our offense became a little bit bogged down, and Arkansas is a great team and took advantage of that.
Pretty much summed it up there perfectly. LSU led by 5 at half, 37-32, and they were pretty good in the first half. Arkansas shot around 30% from the floor, but then in the second half, especially during a stretch around the midway point, about an 8-minute stretch, where LSU went ice cold and Arkansas was scorching hot. Javonte Smart, a couple of turnovers. Trendon Watford, a couple of turnovers. And Darius Days on the afternoon, was just not very good. He didn't score a bucket. 0 of 8, all three-point attempts. Did not attempt a two-point basket in the game. And finished with 0 points and 2 rebounds on the day. That's basically your game. When LSU needs Darius Days to score and generate offense, and he goes 0 for 8 from the floor, you're going to miss a lot of scoring opportunities. And then, obviously, Arkansas in the second half made their living at the free throw line. LSU for the game, 6 of 12 from the foul line. Arkansas, 23 of 31. You know, Will Wade often says he wants to make more free throws than their opponent attempts. That just has not been the case this year. And it was the exact opposite on Saturday, with Arkansas dominating the glass and getting to the free throw line and converting there. And that was the difference in your ball game. So the big picture for this game, for this team really, is that this game isn't devastating. Yeah, it's a huge missed opportunity as LSU's playing for seeding. But losing at Arkansas, which currently has a net ranking of 19, that's not going to cripple you. I mean, it's a quad one road loss. The committee's not going to punish you for that, but you're not going to get rewarded, obviously, as you would if you had a quad one road win against a ranked opponent. So, look, LSU's net fell from 30 to 31. I mean, they're still very much solidly in the tournament. But right now, they're just going to be buried on that 8-9 line. And if that's the case, we've been over this over and over and over again, your reward, if you manage to get past the first round, is you're going to draw a 1 seed. So you're not going to play into the second weekend, most likely. So what's ahead for LSU? Obviously, they have Vanderbilt on Tuesday. And Vanderbilt, while they are the worst team in the SEC, did beat Ole Miss on Saturday. And Jerry Stackhouse's squad beat LSU a year ago in Memorial Gym, which ended an SEC record losing streak. So Will Wade has got to get his squad ready to roll. You've got one bad loss on the year. It was the loss last week at Georgia. Had you won that game, your ticket would have been punched, no doubt about it. You would have continued climbing up the seeding ladder after you won 3 in a row. Lenardi a week ago had you as a 7 seed. Well, now back-to-back losses on the road, one of them a bad loss at Georgia and one of them a loss to Arkansas, has you back firmly on that 8-9 line. So what can you get done? You got an opportunity with Vanderbilt, and then next Saturday you're at Missouri. Now, Missouri is a team that has been hot and cold this year, but it's still a team that the computers think very highly of. Missouri right now with their net ranking is 47. So being that that's a road game, that would still be a quad one road opportunity for LSU in Columbia. You've got to find a way to go on the road and get that game Saturday at Missouri. That's if you have ambitions of getting off that 8-9 line. Listen, I got asked this morning by someone who said, You know, what do you think the ceiling is for LSU? I think the ceiling is if you beat Vanderbilt, beat Missouri, and win the SEC tournament, your ceiling now is probably a 6 seed. Maybe a 5, but probably a 6. Your basement, if you lose to Vandy, lose to Missouri, you're one and done in the SEC tournament, you're on a 5-game losing streak, you might be in that sort of that bubble, that last 4-in type bubble, but I think you're still in. The reality is they'll probably fall somewhere in between. They'll probably beat Vanderbilt, maybe lose at Missouri, maybe get a game in the SEC tournament, and they'll be stuck where they are right now, which is on the 8-9 line. Either way, big picture, what we know about this team is, although they've been hot and cold, this is a team that's a tournament team, and had there been a tournament a year ago, this is an LSU program that would have made 3 consecutive NCAA tournaments. And that's a rarity around here. And this is a flawed basketball team. No doubt, they're not going to be a Final Four team. They're not going to win a championship. But it's also progress in establishing the groundwork of a winning culture within your program. And my hope is that they're continuing on that here over these next 2 weeks and find themselves the best possible draw they can for the NCAA tournament. All right, LSU baseball got a sweep over the weekend. We'll talk about that. Got to remind you about betonline.ag. LSU Vanderbilt tomorrow. A Tigers, Missouri on Saturday. You want to bet on LSU basketball, any college basketball, the NBA, NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline.ag. That's the place to do it. It's the online betting site that I've used for more than a decade. It is free to open an account. When you deposit your funds, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. Again, promo code LOCKEDON, one word. They'll give you a 50% welcome bonus to play with. So, deposit $100, they'll give you $50 free to play with. Deposit $1,000, they'll give you $500 free to play with. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, is the relationship broken between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. The baseball Tigers are off today, but they have a busy week. LSU's back on the diamond Tuesday against Nichols, Wednesday against Southern, and then a weekend series out at the box coming up for the LSU baseball Tigers as they'll host Oral Roberts. But the Tigers this past weekend got a 3-game sweep over Youngstown State and Nichols. 6-2 on Friday and then a double dip on Saturday. 5-3 in the early game with Kay Doty providing the heroics, a walk-off 2-run homer to win it for the Tigers in the bottom of the ninth. And then it was all LSU in the nightcap on Saturday, 14-0 as they pounded the Nichols Colonels. LSU, what we wanted to know early in this season was, would the starting pitching hold up? And undeniably, that has had to be the thing that as LSU figures out its everyday starting lineup, who it can count on in the field, it was going to have to rely on its pitching staff, and namely, its three-headed monster of Hill, Marceau, and Labus. And LSU went out with their 3 starting pitchers this weekend and didn't allow a single earned run in 3 starts. It was a magnificent weekend for those 3 guys. They combined for 17 innings pitched, did not allow a run, struck out 20, and opponents had a 105 batting average against. They were just awesome. There was a lot of concern about A.J. Labus after having a little bit of a rocky debut. I told you last week, I've seen that guy throw more than 50 collegiate innings over 4 seasons. I know what A.J. Labus can do, and Labus bounced back in the early game on Saturday and was just awesome. He threw up zeros, which gave his team an opportunity to win the ballgame. 5 innings pitched and just 70 pitches, allowed 3 hits, no runs, 6 strikeouts, walked a couple, but he was great. Landon Marceau was dominant and efficient. You know, typically you want to be in the 12 to 15 pitch per inning range. Marceau gave you 6 innings on 71 pitches. The higher end of that would have been 90. I mean, 6 innings, 71 pitches, 10 strikeouts, and no walks. Marceau was magnificent. There's no other way to say it. And Maneri was able to get a lot of guys work. So There's a couple of things that we also saw this weekend. LSU brought back Gorilla Ball. In the first and third games, they hit four homers apiece in those two games. Here was Paul Maneri, by the way, talking about this power surge offensively.
Again, a lot of the time, the conditions are significant factors. We had that cold snap that was really bitter. You know, right before the season began, it broke, and we've, you know, had unseasonably warm weather for the early part of the season, and the southerly winds, you know, which is gives your hitters a lot of confidence. If you can get the barrel out on the ball, you know, the ball has a tendency to fly a little bit better. I knew we had some good hitters. Eddie Smith is an outstanding hitting coach and has done tremendous work with the guys. And he emphasizes, you know, attacking the ball and hitting the ball with authority. We didn't do that the first two games of the season against the Air Force Academy. It became a very big point of emphasis after that to go up there to the plate and really compete against the pitcher and generate bat speed and get the bat head out. And, you know, once we started doing that, the ball started flying because of the conditions. And hey, listen, I'm not complaining. I love home runs as much as anybody. And
okay, conditions, hitting coach, all that sort of stuff, there's some validity there. But I think if we're actually trusting our eyes, here's something else that's pretty obvious. Paul Maneri generally has recruited a lot of center fielders and shortstops. This LSU team looks physically very different from what normal Paul Maneri teams look like. Think of it this way. You are used to seeing infielders that look like Kramer Robertson and Cole Freeman, and outfielders that look like Andrew Stevenson and Mark Laird, smaller, skinnier guys that run like the wind, that can cover a lot of ground. You're used to seeing Collier Cranford and Hal Hughes. Like, that's what LSU under Maneri typically has been. Let's play elite defense and, you know, maybe manufacture offense. This team looks very different from that. You know, every now and again, you'd have a Greg Dykeman, a big bopper in the middle of your lineup. This team has Zach Arnold, 6'2", 207. Dylan Cruz, 6'2", 203. Cade Doty, 6'1", 195. Gavin Dugas, 5'10", 204. Looks like a linebacker. You get the point. Brody Drost, freshman center fielder, 6'2", 205. LSU has recruited a different style of player. Of course, you've had Beloso, 6'2", 216. Jake Wyeth, the backup catcher, 6'2", 220. Look at these guys. They're a bigger, more physical team. And I would take, with dominant pitching, lesser defense for more offense. And that's how Maneri has built this team. They are a team that might be more liable to rely on a bloop and a blast than single, walk, sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly to get a run home. This team, all up and down the lineup, everyone has home run potential. Even, you know, an air quotes, small guy, like what we've seen with Jordan Thompson playing third base. You know, Jordan Thompson is, you know, 6'1", 176, but he's shown you he has power. He had an opposite field home run this weekend. So I think as much as weather conditions and all of that hitting coach, all that has plays a role, you just have home run hitters on this team where you didn't have home run hitters before. And it's going to be a much more fun brand of baseball to watch throughout this year. So I don't think this is a one-off. Yes, LSU is going to face much better pitching, but when you start facing better pitching, even if you're facing bad pitching at the beginning and you're not able, you're not hitting homers. They're hitting homers because they got guys that can hit homers and lots of them. And that's really fun to watch. Now, something that we're going to have to watch this week is what happens at second base. So, Cade Doty hit a walk-off homer in game two of the series, the first game on Saturday. And in celebrating, he high-fived a teammate and jarred his shoulder. He tried to give it a go in game three and then was pulled, and we saw Will Safford go in. And what I was told is that that's a recurrence of an injury that Cade Doty has battled with that shoulder. and he's probably going to be out for a little while. I'm not comfortable saying the extent of the injury or how long, but I would say that based on the information I've been given, I would be very surprised if Kay Doty played this week. And LSU's got two midweek games, and as we mentioned, Oral Roberts this weekend. So this could be a great opportunity for Will Safford to crack the everyday lineup. You very likely put Safford at second base, and if he hits when Doty comes back, you very well could see Kay Doty move to third base and have it, and take the place of Jordan Thompson. Now, some of you are going to say, well, why would you pull Jordan Thompson right now? Remember, this, we always knew that Thompson could play third. The question right now for LSU is who can hit? Who is going to be able to hit for this baseball team? And Thompson has had a couple of homers, as we mentioned, but he's hitting 167 on the season. His on-base percentage is 286. That's not going to fly for someone in the everyday line. Now, he's only had 18 at-bats, but he's got to be able to hit. That is by far the lowest of the everyday players outside of Milazzo, who can hit 158 for his career, and it won't matter. He's going to be in there every day because he's an elite catcher. So if Thompson doesn't hit and Safford starts to hit with Doty out, don't be surprised if you see that switch there with Safford and Doty occupying second base and third base when Doty comes back. A busy week for LSU, as we mentioned. Nichols on Tuesday, Southern on Wednesday, and a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series with Oral Roberts at the box. Okay, we will knock out one more quick break and then wrap up the Locked On LSU podcast. We're brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. Best tasting protein bar in the world. BuiltBar.com, they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, perfect for keto. I actually ordered a mixed box of Built Bar yesterday. It's 18 bars in a mixed box. You choose your flavor. So I got six caramel brownie. I got six of the salted caramel and six of the orange. You can get a box of one flavor or mix and match. Find your favorite at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar in the world. If you go to their website, they actually have a side-by-side nutritional fact of Built Bar and some of the other, you know, top protein bars that you see on shelves everywhere. Check it out online, BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code, new promo code, by the way, LOCKEDON20, new promo code to save 20% off at BuiltBar.com. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're wrapping up this Monday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by Built Bar. You probably saw the news over the weekend that Eric Gilbert is on the move again. So the now former LSU tight end who had committed to Florida has announced he is re-entering the transfer portal. Let me be abundantly clear about this, because a lot of LSU fans go, hey, maybe we can get him back. No. When he first entered the transfer portal and you asked me, you know, what percentage do you think that LSU could get Gilbert? At that point, I think I told you something along the lines of like 18%. I'm going to knock that down this time to like 1.8%. But here's what I would caution you again. When Gilbert first left LSU, we had this conversation. I told you. With Gilbert, he is going through a very, he and his family, serious and personal matter, and fans only want to criticize. Ed Ogeron did Eric Gilbert wrong. And he was trying to protect his player when he came out with his body hurts or his homesick thing. He was trying to do right, but what he chose, the explanation, ended up being more of a disservice to Gilbert, because it's made people think he looks soft and flaky when in reality there's very legitimate things going on. I told you then that I would be very surprised if Gilbert didn't end up at the University of Georgia, closer to his home. So I was surprised when he went to Florida. Now, from a football standpoint, that makes sense because, I mean, we just saw what Kyle Pitts did at Florida, and it makes tremendous sense that he would be a guy that could step right into that role. But I think there are other issues that would probably pull him closer to Georgia. And I would be surprised. And I don't know. I'm telling you candidly, I don't know. Gilbert's not been on LSU's campus, so I have no contact and I have no idea what he's thinking or where he's going. But knowing the context prior, I would be surprised if he didn't end up at Georgia. From a specifically on-field perspective, if you're LSU, you'd much rather him at Georgia because you don't have to see him unless you play in the SEC championship game. If he's at Florida, you got to play him every year. So we'll follow it. We'll see where Gilbert goes. Again, it is highly unlikely that he ends up back at LSU. But from LSU's perspective, at least he's not going to be at a place where you have to see him week in and week out every year. All right, it's going to do it for us here on a Monday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by Built Bar. If you have not done so yet, please subscribe to the podcast. That helps us tremendously. Leave a rating, a review, all that stuff. Until tomorrow, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day.